All right, all right. What's up, y'all? How y'all doing? Can you hear me? Yes. Really good? Okay, great. I talk kind of loud. My bad. My name is Liddell Bucks, and this is my, hey, girl, my boo thing. How you feeling? Nice. What's up with you? Hey. We should a little picture of us as well. Of us looking fine. What's up, y'all? Look at us. Yeah. We've been married for 12 years, and we have two sweet little girls who love to talk. And there they are. Yeah, especially the big one. And we have interesting personalities. Gabriella, who's 11, and Isabella, who's 7. I was born in a small town in East Texas called Huntington, Texas, in a Christian home with my single mother and my little sister. We went to church every single day and twice on Sundays, one of them churches. Most of the time, I would fall asleep in church, probably because I was tired from being in church all the time. My biological father was never around, and that left a really void in the beginning part of my life, not having a father figure to guide me. What was important to him was drinking alcohol and extramarital affairs. If you look back at the Bugs family picture, you would see that the lack of a presence of a father figure and extramarital affairs were very common. We then moved to Dallas, Texas. And when I turned 6 years old, my mother remarried, and I finally had the father figure that I had so yearned for. We began to continue going to church, not every day, but often. The funny thing about it, going to that local church, is that I began to learn about this man named Jesus. My new father would take me to the men's Bible studies on Wednesday nights at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. We prayed together. He calls me my basketball team. The Lord used him to lead me to salvation. A small voice in my ear began to tell me that I have something great for you.
I grew up with my parents and two younger brothers in a border town called Del Rio. I was a straight-A student, semi-athletic, had a solid group of friends, and very close extended family. I was overall a pretty good girl. Growing up, my parents had a very Mexican cultural marriage. My mom served with a kind heart and had breakfast, lunch, and dinner made. She would tend to kids and home, never complaining. We understood that what my dad said was it. We were not to question him or his decisions so that we would not be disrespectful. We grew up in a Catholic household. We attended church every Sunday and on special holidays. We would go to church functions and have rosaries monthly. I grew up listening about Christ and his life, but never knew what it meant to have a relationship with him. I saw my family struggle at home with family issues, pregnancies, money, and disagreements, but wouldn't share with others what was going on. I learned early on that what happened at home was not to be shared.
As a young man, I began to feel the effects of this reality, so I turned to R&B music and movies to shape my worldview. You know, Usher, Brian McKnight, Jagged Edge, Chris Brown, y'all know who they are. Stop playing up in here. Just to name a few. One night, I was awakened to screams coming out of my mother's and father's bedroom. That was the first time that I learned that my new father had been physically abusing my mother. During my middle school years and high school time, this new reality became very common in our household. My father being escorted out of our home by the police because of domestic abuse of my mother was not surprising to me. During those times, I would turn to two things to help me cope with these realities: my R&B music and movie worldview and Christ Jesus. Most of the time, it was the music and the movies would be the preferred method of coping. This worldview taught me how to find a woman, treat a woman, and about sex. But that small voice in my ear continued telling me, I have something great for you.
As a teenager, my family continued the same pattern of attending church with no relationship with Christ being cultivated. One night, I was up late watching a movie by myself. The movie ended, and an adult movie began. Before I knew it, I was watching pornography. I can remember not being able to sleep that night and being uneasy the rest of the week. It was a horrible feeling, but it was too late. Pornography had been introduced into my life. I turned 15 and did what the rest of my cousins did when they turned 15. We would go to the clubs in Mexico to drink and dance. By 16, I was a regular at the clubs and started having inappropriate relations with guys. I began having a very promiscuous way of thinking. I won't have boyfriends, only inappropriate relationships with them so that they can't hurt me. But my thinking was so off. As I had promiscuous dates with guys, I would get hurt, and so my appetite for pornography grew with it. I was able to watch from my own room since my parents trusted me so much. I became so numb to it that no one knew what I was doing. I remember one time my cousin came to fix my computer, and he let me know that he could see what was on the history, and I simply left the room. He didn't tell my parents, and I learned how to erase the history. I didn't notice then, but the Lord was providing a way out. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to men, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." But my sin pattern continued.
During my high school and college years, this is when I became very promiscuous in my relationship with women. I started to know that small voice in my ear, but I began to date a young lady, and things began to get very serious. A marriage on the table. That lady fit the worldview that was taught to me at a young age. Suddenly, the relationship ended, and I was heartbroken. But even the heartbrokenness fit the worldview that I was taught by the songs and movies. During the latter part of my college years, that's when I began to become serious about my relationship with Christ. That's also when I met this woman, Cynthia. Okay, y'all, let me paint a picture for you guys of how we met. She was walking in the student union at UT Dallas. Her hair was blowing in the wind. I am not lying. Everything around her stopped moving, and there was a spotlight just on her. Y'all, I'm for real. I said to myself, who is this? And one of those R&B songs really came to mind. But I kind of insulted her by telling her that she was too wild for me to date. The first time we had a discussion, I actually shared the gospel with her. As soon as I got done, I ran outside and called the pastor who had begun to disciple me. And he told him that I shared the gospel with someone. He asked me, what did she say? I replied, I don't know, but I shared the gospel with her. And he said, son, it would probably be wise for you to follow with her to see if she accepted Christ. Little did I know, that little voice began talking to her as well. As at Christmas time, Cynthia called me to inform me that she had accepted Christ as her Savior. I had no clue what Christ was doing behind the scenes. And she became the first person that Christ used me to lead to him. We immediately went to courtship, and 3 years we were married.
I graduated high school, came to Dallas to attend UTD, and being the first one in my family and second in my extended family to go to college, my dad did not want me to stay in the dorm alone. Since we didn't question what he said, I came to live with my aunt and uncle and their 3 kids. This living arrangement saved me from getting too wild. I continued to have inappropriate relationships, but would always come back home. I continued to get my heart broken and kept watching pornography. Then one day, I walked into the student union and met a quiet guy named Liddell Bugs.
Did you say no?
Quiet. Not much was said, but there was something different about him. He asked me a very important question. Do you know Christ? And I said, I'm Catholic. He responded with, that's not what I asked. He continued by sharing the gospel and planted a seed. I went home to Del Rio for Christmas break, accepted Christ, and called Liddell to let him know my joy. After that Christmas break and a few months of spending lots of time together discussing Christ, learning how to read the Bible, and attending church with Liddell, we had an important conversation. He said, I am not looking for a girlfriend, I'm looking for a wife. And I responded with, I'm looking for a husband. And we went into courtship. We had an agreement in place that kept us from having premarital sex. We were in courtship for 3 years and kept our agreement. I kept using porn sporadically, feeling guiltier, but not letting Liddell know anything about my struggle.
But 2 days before our wedding, my old friend, the R&B music and movies worldview, showed up. The young lady that I had a serious relationship with years before I met Cynthia called me to ask me if I was going through with my marriage with marrying Cynthia. Of course, I said yes, but a terrible seed had been planted. After saying I do, that seed often popped into my head, and I began to ask the question, have I married the right person? 4 years into our marriage, that young lady contacted me again to see if I would leave my wife for her. I told her no, but I did not inform my wife of our conversations. A couple years later, she reached out to me again, and we began to have an extramarital affair. My wife had no clue what I was doing. That little voice in my ear would tell me, don't continue, but I ignored it.
We got married, and I was thinking, this is it. Liddell is going to fix my issues, and we are set for life. But I was wrong again. Our first year married was rocky, especially since I got pregnant about 6 months in. We became task-oriented and soon became roommates. I stayed away from pornography for the first year, but after that, all bets were off. We continued to attend church on Sundays and always with a smile on our faces. I attended women's Bible studies, but the relationships never went beyond the four walls. We were doing what my family used to practice. What happens at home stays at home.
My wife found out about the affair while we were watching a movie called Temptation. I had to come clean to her about the affair, but I conveniently left out some of the details. She was heartbroken and about the entire thing, and I thought she would never look at me the same.
Then late one evening, everything came crashing down. We were watching a movie about infidelity, and the doll kept asking me every 5 minutes, "Are you okay?" And I replied with, "Yes, let me watch the movie." Soon after, he got up and went to the bathroom. About a minute later, his phone got a message. I checked it, and it was his ex-girlfriend. I opened up the thread and read that this was not something new. He came out and told me everything. I was so hurt and could not understand how he could do this or why. But I went to the Lord and asked him for wisdom. I talked with a good friend, and her words of wisdom left a single word on my mind: hope. I remember waking up and making him breakfast the next morning because I understood that if I allowed my heart to start building walls, they would be harder to break down. We both knew we wanted to stay married. We just didn't know what to do or where to start.
I went back to the one thing that I knew that would never let me down. That was Christ Jesus himself. I confessed the affair to some guys that I had been walking with. They encouraged me and referred me to Scott Kadersha here at Watermark. Scott informed me about a great ministry called Reengage and told me to watch Rule and Susan Cox's story. And after watching their story, I concluded that if the Lord could resurrect that, he could do wonders for ours.
Liddell looked for classes, guidance, counseling, something to help us with our marriage. We were directed to Watermark, and the rest is history, or the beginning of a new chapter. Liddell was sold, but I was hurt. He showed me the Reengage clip, and I thought the couple seemed strange, but we went. First Wednesday, we were greeted with open arms, and I was embarrassed that this was happening to me. I heard the testimony, and I was hooked. I'm not the only one in this situation. We came back the following week, and I heard, "Come clean to your spouse to get the most out of this journey." We went home, and I told Liddell that I had been watching pornography for years. He was deeply hurt, but we got into a small group and dove headfirst. We were all in. Joel 2:25, "I will make up to you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten."
We dove right into open group and immediately saw Christ's hand in our marriage. After the second meeting we had, my wife told me she had to confess something to me. She had been watching porn all through our marriage and had been hiding it from me. She hid it so well, I began to think that she worked for the CIA. I became very angry at her because she was wounded of my indiscretions, but she continued to hide hers from me. I thank the Lord for Reed Griffith. Reed shared with me that my wife and I had been blessed with an opportunity to help each other walk in areas where we were weak in. That little voice in my ear named the Holy Spirit began to show me the greater things he had in store for us. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. I have plans to give you a future filled with hope."
After Reengage, we went back to attending our previous church home and got back into our old routine. Business, work, two children, and the upkeep just took a toll on our marriage, as we were not in a community where we could not be held accountable to using the tools we had learned at Reengage. Time passed, and Liddell let me know that he had reached out to his ex-girlfriend, and I let him know that I had watched pornography again. Remembering the tools from Reengage, we were able to listen to each other and reach out for guidance. Since we didn't have a community, we called our old Reengage group, and they admonished us and advised us to get a community together. After God showed us a need for the community, we migrated back to Watermark, and here we are now. We became members, got into a community group, and began serving as greeters at Reengage and now leaders. We are not perfect, but we really try to use the Bible as a filter when speaking with each other and dealing with issues. Each year, we have seen improvements in our marriage. We continue to use the wisdom and practices that have been learned. John 10:10 says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly."
My wife and I began to become more vulnerable and transparent with one another by drawing the circle around ourselves. We begin to master the art of asking thought-provoking questions to solve the core of our issues. We begin to experience the true freedom kingdom culture that Christ spoke about in the Bible. John 8:32 says, "And you will know the truth, and that truth will make you free." Our minds begin to be transformed. We begin to grow into oneness spiritually, physically, emotionally, and mentally. We begin to walk in the authority that Christ had given us. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you."
The skills and wisdom that the Lord Jesus Christ taught us through the resource of Reengaged prepared us for an event that would challenge our faith like it's never been challenged before. Earlier this year,
we were excited to be adding another child to the Bugs household. It would have been our third child and first boy. But on June the 2nd, 2019, we had to give birth to our stillborn son at 27 weeks. The situation literally routed us spiritually, mentally, and emotionally at our core. The one constant that we have in this new reality is the same constant that resurrected our marriage, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the only one, through his word, speaks truth by redeeming us, by reminding us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean to your own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. He is the only one that through his spirit comforts us by wrapping his arms around us and reminding us that he can relate to the pain and hurt we are feeling. Philippians 3:10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. He is the only one that through his people reminds us daily that it's possible to grieve well if we continue to view our son's passing through the lens of Christ Jesus and not our own. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up." In conclusion, we want to remind you that God's word, God's people, and God's spirit truly invokes change if you're vulnerable to allow him to do that. God bless you guys.
Thank you.